Let's return to Milo's Internet Marketing on TalkZone.com.
Welcome. You're listening to Milo's Internet Marketing Radio Program, Milo'sInternetMarketing.com. This is our Ask Andy segment, and Andy fed me a couple questions that came across. One that's been coming quite a few times lately is how long do flash drives last? Everybody's using flash drives. They're all over the place. People tend to be using those more than CDs or DVDs, depending upon the size, but they're so much easier to throw in your pocket and take somewhere. But they're really become a very popular form of portable storage. You've got stuff, you created something, you can email it, but it's also very helpful to put it on a flash drive and bring it. You're going to give a presentation somewhere. Put it on your flash drive, it's on your hard drive also, but you have it. But the question is, how long do they last? Will they wear out? Will they get damaged if I set them on top of a motor? Are they going to go bad? So a flash drive, they really won't, because a flash drive contains a circuit board populated with transistors. That's what it really is, just full of transistors. Usually one transistor per bit of storage capacity. Although newer and more expensive transistors can store multiple bits, it's still pretty much one transistor per bit. To store data on a flash drive, an electrical current changes the charge of the transistor from one state to another, representing 0 or 1. That's how they kind of read each other. The design of a transistor is such that it remains in one particular charge state for many years. So your data stored on a flash drive won't fade away in any time that you really have to worry about. You probably have to worry about you fading away quicker than your flash drive is going to fade away. Flash drives are not easily damaged as magnetic or optical media are. You know, you had the old tape cassette players or reel-to-reel, and if a magnet got near them, it wiped it out. So there were problems there. But there's no delicate moving parts in a flash drive. It's not going to break down like a read-write drive will. There's no spinning bearings or magnetic pieces at all. It's just solid state. Now, the problem is a cheaply made USB flash drive case can break, and then if it breaks, you tend to have to throw the whole thing away. So you can buy a $5 USB, a $12 USB, or $8 or $9 USB. Look for the medium range one. Depending if they're all the same storage capacity. Because the cheaper one's going to be a much cheaper material and can break easier. That's probably the biggest thing. They're going to fall and break, get smashed in some way, and then they won't work at all. So it isn't a USB storage that's gone. It's the case itself. We all have digital cameras. So many of them have a memory card. A memory card is really a flash drive. So you know how handy that is and how it can take a lot of abuse. It can store a lot of things, and they do last a long time. So just think of USB drive, a camera, memory card. It's the same thing. You can write to your flash drive. It's not going to wear out. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever. The problem is rewriting. They say you can. It has about, they're saying 900,000 to a million write cycle, and then it's not going to work well anymore. Well, you're not going to write a million times on a, even 100,000 times on a flash drive, so don't worry about it losing it. You can rewrite it. What you do is when you erase it, you rearrange the transistors, and then when you add information on, you line them up again so they store your information. But each time you erase it, you move the transistor a bit to a location of 1 or 0, and that's what is the downfall. But again, we're talking that can move back 800,000, 900,000 times before it will be ruined. So defective flash drives, you really don't find much unless you abuse it in some way. So get a flash drive. They should last forever. Really, at least longer than you are going to last. So don't be worried about a flash drive. A DVD is going to break a lot quicker than a flash drive will. We've had questions about people with motherboards. Susan wrote that they had a storm the other night and the motherboard fried. She've noticed because there's a big black spot on the motherboard. So the motherboard of your computer is a giant circuit board inside your desktop or laptop computer. Soldered and plugged into the motherboard are most of the components of your computer. The disk drive controller, the display, all those things are connected to that. They're all connected by little conductive wires. They could be 8-pack or 2-pack or single wires. They're really easy to replace. If you can use a soldering iron, you can replace it. My first suggestion, if you want to, is take it back to a dealer somewhere and have them do it. But it's not something Andy said, you really need to be afraid of. It's kind of very, it's like replacing a battery on your car. Taking it apart is important. Putting it back together is important. The in-between kind of works by itself. Every motherboard has a serial number on it, and that's probably the most important. When you open up your computer, whether it's laptops, a little more difficult because there's not a lot of space in there. Tabletop computer is very simple to change. You disconnect all the wires, label them. Believe me, put a little piece of tape or post-it note paper on each wire where it goes and draw a little diagram. Because when you get these 8 pieces of wires, you think you're going to remember, but you don't. You want to make sure the wires go back in the same place. But then there's 3 to 6 bolts, Andy said, that will allow you to unscrew and remove that motherboard. When you get the motherboard out, take the serial number, go on Google, type in the serial number with quotes, and say it's a motherboard serial number, and then that'll feed you to the manufacturer who made that, and then you purchase an identical one. You can't purchase a substitute one because you're not going to have everything work properly. Every unit in that computer was designed for that motherboard. So you've got to get the identical motherboard. And usually you can buy it through the manufacturer. You can often buy it through other sources, but Andy recommends you buy it through the manufacturer because it'll be the identical board. Then you put it back in very easily, very nicely. It's not difficult at all. Screw the nuts back on. Connect all the wires. They should be in the exact same spot, the same diagram. And turn on your computer, it should work. It really, really should. The problem now is you've got to reinstall Windows. You've got to reinstall all your programs. But you don't necessarily have to always, but many times you do have to at least reinstall it to get everything working again. Try it without it. Sometimes it'll just flash right on with a new motherboard. But sometimes it totally drains the information, so you need to rejuvenate that motherboard again by installing the software again. So just see. If you need to install it, fine. If not, you can just turn it back on, and boom, everything's going to come right back up, and hopefully that's the way it'll operate. So it's not hard, Andy said, to change a motherboard. The other questions, Windows 7 questions. A number came up that they want to purchase a laptop. More and more laptops are being sold than the other units. But what do they need if you're going to get Windows 7? Well, almost every computer now comes with Windows 7. I'm not sure you can even get them loaded with Vista unless you have somebody else do it for you or you do it yourself. So they come with 7. But a couple things that are really important in a laptop to run 7, because 7 takes a lot of information, a lot of space. Number one is you've got to have a 64-bit processor. The 32s won't do. Make sure when you purchase an Intel Core 2 Duo model, most all are 64, but make sure it's a 64-bit. It'll say on there a 64-bit. Don't accept anything less if you're going to run Windows 7. Another thing is Andy Strong, and so do I, Strong suggests 4 gigabytes of RAM. Most of them come with 2, upgrade it to 4. You won't be sorry. You'll be so much happier. So a 64-bit processor, 4 gigabyte RAM is recommended. That'll really help. If you're going to do a lot of graphics, get a high-performance graphics card. If you don't do games, don't worry about the graphic card. The graphic card that's in there will do well for you. At least a 250 or a higher hard drive you want. The other thing is make sure it's a 7200 RPM speed. The speed is important because Windows 7 kind of drags, so you want that speed. A couple questions. Can we get Windows 7 on notebook? Yes, you can, but you're not going to be happy. First of all, it's Windows Starter Edition. That's on notebook. Notebook doesn't have the space, doesn't have the 64-bit processor. Just can't do all the things that Windows 7 can do, so it gives you the starter version of Windows 7. So a laptop for purchasing Windows 7 in review, a 64-bit processor, 4 gigabytes of RAM, doing graphics, a good graphic card. If you're not going to do games, then just a regular graphic card, don't worry about it. And 250, 320 gigabyte hard drive, 7200 RPM is very important. Well, that's about all for today with Ask Andy, and that's about all for all of us today. We want to thank our engineer, Randy Meyer. We want to thank TalkZone.com, and especially you, our listeners. We appreciate you. Until next time, this is Milo saying so long, everybody.